Luke chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself would go. And so this is what I was referring to. Remember in chapter 9, there was this person going around casting out evil spirits, and the apostles didn't know who this person was, so they assumed that he was doing wrong. Well, not so. Obviously, other people were given miraculous abilities and told to go out and preach and teach and heal and perform miracles to prove what they were saying was true. So Jesus just sent out 70 others, two by two, to go and teach and preach and heal. Therefore, he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. And this is probably why he sent 70 others out. Instead of just his 12, he sent an additional 70 because there are so many lost people in this world. We need as many people out there teaching and preaching God's word. The more, the better. The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. The more teachers and preachers we have teaching the truth, the better. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. This is dangerous. Carry neither purse nor bag nor shoes, and greet no man on the way. Don't get distracted. And whatever house you enter into, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace is there, your peace shall rest on it. If not, it shall return to you. Kind of the same thing with when he sent out the 12. Rely on the hospitality of others. If they don't accept you, if they reject you, you reject them and you move on. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his hire. Rely on the hospitality of people because that is basically your pay. You are working for your food. And he also says, do not go from house to house. So he's telling them, just stay where you are with the person that is showing you hospitality for as long as you can. Don't be jumping around from house to house to house to house. And whatever city you enter into and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick, Haruna, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. The church is close. But whatever city you enter into and they do not receive you, go your way out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city that clings to us, we wipe off against you. We are not responsible for you guys' souls because we came here, we taught you the truth, and you rejected it. However, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near to you. We came here and we told you about the church coming, and you rejected us. That's not going to go good for you. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable on that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works that have been done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented a great while ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. This is not a compliment. Tyre and Sidon were evil cities. And here you have Chorazin and Bethsaida. They were taught, they were preached to, they were showed supernatural acts, and they still rejected it. It's going to be more tolerable, but it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. I think this might be a figure of speech because I think I read somewhere that Capernaum was on a hill. So not only physically is Capernaum on a hill, but these people are also very self-righteous and arrogant. He's saying, you're going to end up being thrown down because you rejected me. He who hears you hears me, and he who despises you despises me, and he who despises me despises him who sent me. there's another point to be made here. There are those out there that say, we only have to obey the red letters of the Bible. You know, just what Jesus said, and it's usually in red letters. It was clearly contradicts that, because he who hears you hears me. He who hears you hears me. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us through your name. I guess they thought it was pretty cool. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall from heaven as lightning. Now we know from other passages that Satan was an angel. He was in heaven. And at some point, he rebelled against God. He and some of his yahoos, other angels, rebelled against God, and they were cast out of heaven. And now they're in hell waiting for final judgment. They do not have the opportunity to obey the gospel. Once they were thrown out of heaven, that's it. They do not have the same opportunities that we humans do, where we can believe and repent, confess, be baptized, and still be able to go to heaven. They don't have that. Behold, I give to you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you by any means. However, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. I mean, that's cool, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven, and you have it better than the angels. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to infants. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. I think he's just appreciating the fact that God set it up the way he did. The humble are the ones that are going to have the good hearts, the good open hearts, and accept Jesus and believe and obey. The self-proclaimed wise and prudent are usually too arrogant. I don't need God. I don't need Jesus. I don't need a savior. And those of you who believe in God and Jesus, you are just weak people. You just need something. So there's a reason why God set it up like he did. All things are delivered to me by my Father, and no man knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things that you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things that you hear and have not heard them. He's telling his apostles, you are very blessed, you are very privileged in the fact that you are seeing and hearing the hidden things of God. There were so many prophets in the Old Testament that would love to have known what the apostles know. Even the angels, there's a passage, I can't remember where it is, but it says even the angels wanted to know and did not know. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? Because remember, at this time, people are still under the law. The Jews are still under the law of Moses. And he answered and said, You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you shall live. But he, wanting to justify himself, so he was pushing his question a little further, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? I'm supposed to love my neighbor. Well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down that way a certain priest. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Ew. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked at him and passed by on the other side. Shame on these people. But a certain Samaritan... Remember, Samaritans are considered half-breeds. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and sat him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said to him, take care of him. And whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. Now, which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? This is a perfect, great example of agape love. This Samaritan took care of a complete stranger, didn't know the man, wouldn't know one way or another whether he would personally like him or not, didn't know anything about him. He saw a human being who needed help. He did what was best for that man. That is what we as Christians are to do. We are to do what's best for other people, whether we know them or not, whether we like them or not. Perfect example. So he says, now which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, the lawyer said, he who showed mercy to him. Then said Jesus to him, go and do likewise. And what a great example. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary. Now, this may sound familiar. Mary and Martha, they had a brother named Lazarus. So we know from other accounts that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were good friends of Jesus. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was troubled about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. That just sounds so petty. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. You worry about everything. You worry too much. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. He's telling Martha, look, you worry about worldly things too much. Mary, on the other hand, is sitting here listening to me teach and preach. That's what's important, spiritual matters. Not serving me with tea and biscuits or whatever. Priorities. It's about priorities. And that is Luke chapter 10.